Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. The title of the program is World Watchers. It's broadcast number 762, July the 14th, 1986. I want to continue along the lines of the health problems, the genetic testing, the AIDS, the combination of experimentation on AIDS up in the shuttle program with the combination of William Graham of NASA becoming the science advisor to the president, working closely with Lawrence Bogard of the Advanced Genetic Sciences that wants to do the genetically altered bacteria on live bacteria on plants, specifically starting in Monterey County, the first place in the world they were going to put them. And I want to go along those lines because part of it is after the 4th of July celebration and all the great patriotism and the show of flags and the bands and everything, which was so nauseating. Simultaneously, while that was going on, I was separating articles on all of the dangers that are around us in the society once these worn, tired people from oppression come to our shores and we let them in. What do they receive when they get here, and what share of this pie are they going to get in terms of health and welfare, and what is happening to all of us combined that is something totally contradictory to the image that Ronald Reagan has of being so strong and pure and altruistic to all kinds of people, to be so free and so full of joy. There's something else going on in this world, the manufacturing of weapons and the destruction of the planet, that is totally contradictory to the image that he wants to give, just as the beautiful pictures of Hitler and Mussolini talking to the adoring masses as he's going to lead them into a point of destruction for them and for their countries, or at least for what Hitler's purpose is, what he was doing at the time, to retrench later. But certainly Germany has suffered from what the consequences of following him and believing every word he said up to that point. Now, along the lines of the herbicides I mentioned last week, the soldiers that were taken sick because they were on some programs out in the field and didn't know that they had been sprayed with herbicides. There was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle just a couple weeks ago, Risk of Herbicides in National Forests. Workers, visitors, and neighbors of California's federal forest land could face a variety of health risks. The Forest Service is resuming its use of herbicides. The 265-page study was commissioned by the Forest Service to examine the health and safety dangers posed by 13 herbicides that resulted from federal court rulings in three Oregon cases. At least four of 13 herbicides are listed as possible carcinogenics. The report found that the greatest threat from them could be faced by workers who apply chemicals from the ground or helicopters. The worst case, women workers who bear children would have birth defects. There's a risk that newborns would have under-average weights. Other potential risks from the spraying includes loss of appetite, upset stomach, adverse reproductive effects. And the study shows that there's a lifetime risk of workers who are dying that's quite low now, but could be escalated later if they are subject to more of the insecticides or pesticides. In extreme cases, people living or hiking in the vicinity of the areas could suffer reproductive problems, experience birth defects. There is danger in the drifting of this spray and contaminated berries. The use of herbicides in California forests was suspended after the Oregon cases in 1983 were decided. The suspension was later expanded to the whole nation. Controversial chemicals have been used to clear thousands of acres of brush, to prepare sites for reforestation, kill unwanted vegetation so commercial trees would grow faster. The new Forest Service study comes at extremely critical time after a battle over spraying herbicides in California and other western states. The agency is now in the process of drafting draft management plans for its 20 million acres in California, 170 million acres elsewhere, and they warn about the widespread dangers as a result of the herbicides that they're using to clear out particular areas. There's 18 national forests they're referring to. The public review period for the herbicide document ends August the 11th. Responses can be sent to the U.S. Forest Service, and it gives the address. And their meetings, the meetings took place in June. There'll be some more public hearings in July in Sacramento, Eureka, and Redding about that factor. Another article, General Accounting Office says public goes uninformed of long-term risks from pesticides, and it tells about the chemical laws that the EPA had and assessed for health risks under a 1972 law, but the registration is not working adequately and that there are long-term health effects, and owners and home weekend gardeners get little information on the health of themselves due to the pesticides they're spraying into their gardens. Citizens who walk on lawns, go into public buildings every day without knowing those areas have been treated with pesticides, they're not informed. The public isn't told the uncertainty surrounding chronic health risks to have parks and forests and public buildings and grass that are sprayed with these chemicals. They're asking for re-registration of chemicals, data on the exposure, and the date that would alter their the date for altering their techniques, when they would change their techniques. And they also want people to be aware that there's pesticides used in public places, schools, restaurants, hotels, offices, industrial workplaces, park, and golf courses. Another article, May 29th, bacteria-contaminated lake closed in Contra Costa County. It draws more than 5,000 visitors on summer weekends, and because of bacteria there, contamination 10 times higher than normal, they were forced to close it. Another article about Advanced Genetic Sciences trying to use their live bacteria in it's called Tukalake Lake. It's in Modoc County in California. There's been a temporary stop on them doing it, but they have it's a go-ahead pretty soon to begin using experiments on potato plants up at Tukalake Lake, and the University of California has delayed their genetically engineered bacteria in the Northern California field until next fall, and the people involved with that experiment are involved with AGS, and the EPA has temporarily stopped them from putting the genetically altered bacteria into the open field, but it will probably be done in the fall. They're waiting to do it in the fall. Another large article was in the New York Times, Florida Big Pig Farm Poses AIDS Riddle. And this is about persons looking for the causes of AIDS in Belgrade. That's a predominantly black community with a large Nazi entourage around the black area where they have an unusually high incidence of AIDS among their poor population. There's 50 confirmed cases of AIDS in this area. And in the process of looking for the environment that could cause it, they came across pigs that have swine flu, and they believe that the virus is similar or seems similar to the symptoms and the conditions of Belgrade. They haven't made a direct connection of swine fever, rather, and the Belgrade, the pigs that were fed to the undernourished people, the blacks in Belgrade, from the swine flu who have AIDS. And there is a lot of controversy about the experiments there. This is a long article, and I'll go into it later. But preliminary studies, according to this, have failed to establish the link between AIDS and the groups, it says, the AIDS victims and major groups known to be the highest risk of getting the disease. Male homosexuals, intravenous drug abusers, hemophiliacs, and so forth are not part of this Belgrade group that have AIDS, so they're trying to find out why they have it. And in the process of looking for causes, they found pigs stricken with the chronic African swine fever, and victims have almost common characteristics such as large lymph nodes, skin lesions, immune-related pneumonia, reduction of white blood cells, and so forth. So that an area where the blacks are having a large number of AIDS, they're also being fed from the diseased swine that are unusual in this country, if not the first ones found here, and that food is being sold to those poor people down there in Belgrade. Another article, U.S. delays test of gene-altered pesticide. They first gave the go-ahead on the Monsanto company, and I had that on the air a while back. Then they said you better wait at least until next year until it's tested, that the field test of the genetically engineered bacteria should be delayed. It's a red light, then it's a green light, and this will go for corn plants. And this involves the Pseudomonas fluorescens, the same thing that is involved with Advanced Genetic Sciences, and the intention to spray Monterey County strawberry fields with that live altered bacteria. Monsanto has been told wait a while, and then after they were told that, they found out they'd already tested it in some areas, but right now it is on a hold while they go back and go over some of the material to maybe study the consequences, the full consequences of what would happen. Another article in the Boston Globe last April, altered virus test is called illegal. This says that on the eve of congressional hearings on the supervision of biotechnology industry, with charges of illegal field tests, genetically engineered organisms are being exposed, and this has to do with the one that I referred to last week, the test in Houston, Texas, or outside of Texas, of the swine disease on the pigs, and Dr. Salkit of Baylor and the Texas A&M and the scientists directly linked to the companies that manufacture the genetically engineered viruses. This was called illegal and suspended, although they had been doing it for 2 years. Another editorial, this is from the New York Times, FDA's game of genetic roulette. And this is about the fact how dangerous it could be that people are worrying about Chernobyl and Three Mile Island, but they're not worrying about the Food and Drug Administration, that the radiation is admittedly would deplete vitamins and minerals in food, and our government wants to use radiation on these particular food subjects. And they're saying that it's no more than if you just cook the food, you'd lose that nutrition. But this article is about eating irradiated food and the dangers, the possible amounts of radioactive material. In the event there's an accident, there's a risk of catastrophic release of radiation in large areas of permanently uninhabitable land as a result of radiation. And this article says, since the dose of radiation that will be used on foods is 200 times the lethal exposure for human beings, workers will be at risk of immediate death from radiation sickness should they be exposed. If a worker opens the wrong door, as did one in 1977 at Radiation Technologies New Jersey plant, after the management had disconnected a safety lock, he would receive a lethal dose in less than a minute. The Nuclear Regulatory Committee did not follow up the case. We do not know whether this worker survived or not. Proponents of food irradiation predict that 1,000 plants could be operated by the end of the century using billions of curies of radiation a year so that the food coming to us would be radiated. Incidentally, I got a sheet from the American, the Conservative Caucus. Howard Phillips is the chairman, and the title over the Conservative Caucus leaflet is Americans Against AIDS. And again, the immune system could be tampered with through these live altered bacteria if you have a weak immune system. So there is a relationship between immune system and breaking down the immune system, known as AIDS, and also in food products. Now, the Congressional Advisory Board for Americans Against AIDS has United States Senator Stephen Sims from Idaho. He's a very close worker with Lamar Bunker Hunk, the H.L. Hunt family in Texas, and also that family closely linked to Alan and John Foster Dulles. And Sims is the part of the Congressional Advisory Board. U.S. Senator Jesse Helms is another one. Representative Dannemeyer is another member. But one of the people whose name they have on the list against AIDS is Honorable Larry McDonald. He died in 1983, and it's 1986, and the brochure requesting money to attack those people who have the disease AIDS and to make new laws, felonies against people with AIDS for various charges and so forth, uses the Honorable Larry McDonald on the literature as a person who, even though he's dead, would be against people with AIDS. So therefore, you can respect his name is on the Conservative Caucus as being concerned about AIDS, even in his grave. Another article, DDT-bearing pesticide approved. Dicofol, D-I-C-O-F-O-L, is the first authorized since the ban 14 years ago. Reagan is taking away the ban on the use of a pesticide containing DDT, a powerful insecticide. Now, it was stopped 14 years ago because it was a danger to trees and living substances and was put on the back burner since 1972. Why does the Reagan administration let it out? Why do they want all this in the air? I can't even figure why they would want it, and the people they deal with get the effects of it. Why are they loosening all of this up at this time and releasing it on the animals and the humans who have to go back in time where the lid was put on there and go back to the time where they could just about spray anything they wanted? Another article, Ex-Cancer Society aide indicted for $4 million fraud. This is from New York City and a former American cancer fundraiser. So money to fight and study these diseases also goes in the private hands of people who use it for their own particular purposes. Another story, East Bay anger over radioactive shipment out in California at the port of Oakland. They were shipping radioactive material that was not supposed to be sent through the regular channels and streets. Four shipments of highly radioactive spent nuclear fuel entered the Oakland port since 1980. They were trucked to General Electric Nuclear Research in Sun Hole, and they made a resolution last month that all shipments of spent nuclear fuel into or out of the port of Oakland, in response to the U.S. Department of Energy proposal, should be stopped, and they don't want an entry for shipments from Taiwan. Now, Taiwan is sending us their old, tired, in very dangerous radioactive fuel to the United States. They don't keep it on their soil, but they're sending us that fuel, and the spent fuel is shipped to the GE labs. It was irradiated in Norway and millions of times more radioactive than levels are considered safe. It was sent in California along Highway 17 that winds and turns and goes through Santa Cruz and is a very beautiful highway and transported up, actually on the northern part of Highway 17 that goes above the Richmond and that area up on the peninsula. But they transport this fuel, which is described as one of the most dangerous freeways in California, Highway 17, as having this kind of fuel on this route and being sent here from other countries to the United States. Another article just this last month in May, 2 months ago now already, Army citing health hazard impounds field rations. 6.7 million of combat field rations was impounded and thrown away, 6.7, because the containment in the packets, there was a hole in the rations, and they weren't sure what kind of danger would happen to the food substance, so the combat field rations were pulled back. The action was taken after inspectors found tiny holes in plastic food pouches and decided that these ready-to-eat meals could be dangerous. So even soldiers and people in the forest and vacationers are playing golf and so forth. You get a combination of articles, and I have many, many more, that you come to the conclusion that almost nothing is safe around us. And alongside of that, there was an article, Doctors in Uruguay Linked to Torture, and it tells about them altering autopsy reports, watching torture until they're at the point of death so that they tell them it was safe to pull back, and lying about the causes of death, using using doctors for all kinds of interrogation and physical conditions. Now, this is similar to Nazi Germany, and the reason I cite that is that the doctors working on these cancer experiments could have the same mindset of what is safe or not safe as military doctors in Uruguay, who played a significant role with the military dictatorships, went side by side with the troops, and they detained up to 40,000 people, saw many tortures, put their heads in filthy water, and so forth. But the doctors aren't necessarily separated from experiments, and experiments could be danger, just as torture was danger, and the medical establishment can be as much a part of the brave new world and is, and we think of them as protecting us or protecting our food or our forest or our trees, where actually they could be part of the problem and are in making possible genocide and elimination of a large segment of the earth through these biological phenomena. Now, David Emery from up north, he's on KFJC and KKUP, and a fellow listener to his program sent him an article, which he sent to me, is two articles, actually, which really are very, very important. The first was October 19th, 1971, titled Nixon Counts on Conversion of Military Facilities. And the time period is very important because I want to get to this article, then get back to Tom Pappas and Spiro Agnew and the Greek military junta that were, and CIA that were behind Agnew's vice presidency under Nixon, because keep in mind that even though Nixon was president, there was Agnew as a fallback, and he was working closely with dictatorships that were using torture and various mistreatment of human beings, and he was sitting there as our vice president under Richard Nixon. Now, the article is about Richard Nixon's conversion of military facilities at Fort Detrick, Maryland. This was written in 1971, and just last week there was an article that the military never did get rid of their bacteriological chemical warfare, but for all purposes, it made Nixon look, it made Nixon look like he's altruistic, like he's giving up the evil thought of having laboratories that would have bacteriological or chemical warfare. The article talks about Nixon's hope as the nation moved from wartime to peacetime era. His hope was to convert many military facilities to meet pressing domestic challenges. Now, that is a giveaway right there, because in 1971, he didn't move from wartime to peacetime era. We never stopped our wartime goals, that is for sure. But he was worried, and the people around him were worried, as evidence of the COINTELPRO program, the Operation Chaos, the use of the CIA, the National Security Agency, the FBI, for destroying the American milieu right home domestically. The war became at home, and this article says he was meeting pressing domestic challenges, which were actually equal to his overseas war because of the objection to the war. The article again says, Nixon counts on conversion of military facilities. Nixon's hope as the nation moved from wartime to peacetime era was to convert many military facilities to pressing domestic challenges. The president said, cutbacks in defense needs have provided a considerable supply of expertise and equipment that can now be used for non-defense purposes. Now, he calls defense as if we were attacked. We weren't attacked by Vietnam or Laos or Cambodia or the Soviet Union or China. Defense was always an attack. But what he was doing, and now the history books show loud and clear, they were making an offensive weapon against us, people of the United States, and could say, now we have the funds and facilities because we're cutting back on our defense. We hadn't even done the Cambodia bombings, and our warfare state was hardly over. And he made it sound like we have this extra money, the war is winding down. Now, the challenge at the time when he was president was too many protesters, overpopulation, the strikes of Cesar Chavez with the farm workers, United Prisoners Union with Popeye Jackson, and the domestic challenges that he talks about were set up by the FBI, as I say, and Tom Charles Houston of Young Americans for Freedom with the military, for things called Operation Chaos, to turn families against each other, to turn children against their parents, couples against each other, and the MKUltra program, which was mind experiments and drug experiments, again with Alan Foster and John Foster Dulles. They instigated these, and using all of the intelligence agencies for domestic problems. And the World Almanac, the reason I found that medical genetic reference that I used last week was I looked up in the World Almanac what was happening in 1971 when Nixon said we could cut back in defense and now use for non-defense purposes for pressing domestic challenges. Well, the World Almanac of 1971, describing the events of 1970, goes into the May Day demonstration in Washington, D.C., the one that ired Spiro Agnew and John Mitchell so much, 250,000 protesters, the three-day march from the Capitol to Arlington, the rallies in San Francisco, among other places that had from 60 to 170,000 people, the $20 billion that was given a riot panel for domestic operations. In those days, in 1970, the Pentagon spent and put up $20 billion for a riot panel, and Agnew attacking the press. The Indians occupied Alcatraz, 89 Indians during 1970. The Army was charged with two My Lai massacres. Two of the people in the My Lai massacres, rather, were charged for the crimes that killed at least 109 women and children. It was the first draft lottery since World War II. It started September 14, 1970. The Chicago Panther shootout took place. It involved the FBI and our domestic intelligence, where Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were killed. They were in bed, two black people, and the police came in and shot, gunned them down. There were shootouts in Los Angeles with the Panthers and in San Francisco. There was the cult murder indictment of Charles Manson, a neo-Nazi, with Texas Watson, Tex Watson from Texas, the Eagle Scout, and the do-gooder meeting with Beverly Hills lawyers before they went into the Sharon Tate home. The Mary Jo Kopechne autopsy was denied in 1970. There was a request to find out, exhume the body and see if there were poisons in her. That was turned down. Harvard suspended 75 of its black students because of demonstrations against the way black histories were taught. Joseph Yablonski, the United Mine worker, was killed. He was 59 years old. The labor leader for the United Mine Workers, the official, his wife and daughter were gunned down. There was a Chicago 7 trial in Chicago where these seven individuals were charged with traveling for the purpose of causing a riot. And Chairman Skolnick always said that they were CIA-related in order to get these laws on the board so that people couldn't cross lines or could always be subject to be arrested because of that. There were black protests at Amherst University from five different colleges meeting. I'm citing what was happening in 1970 because the 71 Almanac said that these events, these social events, were just a few of the activities of 1970. And in 1971, Richard Nixon is saying, we're going to use our military facilities to meet pressing domestic changes, which is in fact what could happen. As I say, there's a long list of things that were happening. The New York townhouse was bombed. The weathermen were charged and three were killed. At Kent State, Ohio, four students were killed and others were shot. At Jackson State, two students were killed and 10 were wounded. And the report on that said that the killings were unwarranted, unnecessary. The police were involved with that, as was Interior Secretary Walter Hickel, who asked Vice President Agnew to stop attacking the youth in his talks. Admiral Thomas Moore became Chief of Naval Operations. He took over as Chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, and he then was on the board of Western Goals with Edward Teller and Larry McDonald, McDonald the opponent of AIDS, Teller the father of the hydrogen bomb and the Star War lasers and so forth. And Moore was part of Western Goals with Larry McDonald and a team of Who's Who, a military intelligence group with computers into police departments. There were racial riots. It had been 1.5 years since the murder of Reverend Martin Luther King, and Whitney Young and the Teamsters Union took over from Cesar Chavez in California. The head of the AFL-CIO that was replaced by Teamsters, and farm strikes and activity were over. There was the shootout of Judge Haley in Marin County that preceded the San Quentin Six shootout, where Jonathan Jackson was murdered, the brother of George Jackson. There was the FBI arrest of a Jesuit priest, Reverend Daniel Berrigan. You remember that? And Agnew was touring around the country talking about the radic libs, the whimpering isolationism, the mulish obstructionism in domestic policy, the pusillanimous pussyfooting on law and order. And he was mouthing those words and referring to the radical liberals as troglodyte. I can't even pronounce it. Troglodytic leftists. That was a word that Agnew preferred to use. And articles, Nixon decries spreading violence, spreading disease of violence as a political tactic. And he referred to the disease of violence at a time when these laboratories were being converted to domestic needs. And as the next article that David sent to me from a listener goes on to say, the medical labs for studying cancer and disease right in the same offices as the biological and germ warfare were to go to Litton Industry, the corporation, the front under Roy Ash and Tex Thornton for the military Greek dictatorship that was put into power, that was used as part of our coups and was an offshoot of the Howard Hughes empire. They took $43 million off the top and formed their own company and then began to use that money for coups and then were to go into medical experiments, which I'll explain in a few minutes. But just to get a tone of the unrest that was happening, Salvador Allende Gassens, a physician, had been elected president in Chile and was ordered immediately to be done away with by Henry Kissinger and the national security agencies. And in 1970, Monterey pop star Janis Joplin was dead. This was a year after Woodstock and Altamont, where a person was murdered right on the camera while the Rolling Stones were singing about John Kennedy. Louis Lomax was killed that year on a way to New Orleans. He was working on the murder of Reverend Martin Luther King and was to go to the Trademark to meet people, and the Trademark was the center of activities that were behind the murder of John Kennedy and Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. And Major General Rene Schneider in Chile was murdered in 1970. That preceded the Allende murder, a close friend of Allende. So during these years, there was all this turmoil when Richard Nixon is going to get very altruistic and build his laboratory. Now, Nixon says in the New York Times article, October the 19th, 1971, we can help advance important public goals even as we alleviate the economic burdens which threaten idle workers and their family. The president didn't specify how using defense-related facilities could be converted to civilian projects. You bet he didn't, and the reason I give you the milieu is to get the tone. Just about the end of this half hour, so I'd take a one-minute break and go back to the New York Times article of Nixon converting a military facility when, in fact, he's actually declaring war in the United States and converting it to what becomes a domestic weapon and proves to be a domestic weapon and not anything altruistic at all.